You're listening to Digging the Dirt, The Allotment Show. And welcome to the show. And first of all, I've got to say thanks for all your very kind messages after the last show. It's good to be back. That was my first show after, I think, the end of last summer, something like that. So it was great to be back and great to hear from you as well. So thanks very much. Now, in this programme, we'll be talking about potato days. Now, do you know what they are? Have you heard of them before? Have you been to any yourself? That's the thing. Now, if you haven't, then you've got to stay tuned. Now, I've never been to one myself. I've heard about them a few years ago now in a magazine article, and it was about the Caldbeck Potato Day. But I've never been able to make it to one. So later in the show, I'll be talking to Matthew Smith of Brighter Blooms. And Matthew is going to tell us all about none other than the Caldbeck Potato Day and potato days in general. And the Caldbeck Potato Day is on later this month, so you'll be able to catch that. That's on the 26th of February between 10 and 2 p.m. and that's at Caldbeck at the Village Hall up there in the Lake District. Stay tuned for that, and hopefully you'll learn something about potato days. Now, of course, we're in February and things are starting to come to life in the garden, that's for sure. The snowdrops are out, and of course, when they've finished, you can think about dividing them and replanting them across your garden, or buying them in the green. Buying some extra plants in the green just for an extra display last year. That's certainly what I did. I bought about, it's got to be three to 400 last year, and put those in. And they're a great sight under the two big oak trees I've got at the bottom of my garden at home here. Hellebores, they're out too, of course, just coming into flower now. And the spring bulbs just pushing up through the soil as well. So together with the welcome slightly longer days, I'm finally getting back from work these days, most days, with a little bit of daylight left, not perhaps enough to pop down the allotment, I'm afraid, but the days are getting a little bit longer, and that's got to be a good thing. I'm still cleaning up the old tools as well, so whenever I've got a spare half hour or so, I'm out there in the garage cleaning them up, oiling them, and getting them ready for the next season. And you're probably like me, just thinking about what you can be growing and sowing right now. Now, if you've got a propagator, you can be starting off your tomatoes right now. Or undercover, you can be starting off your sprouts and leeks and onions as well. Or even planting out garlic, just enough time to be doing that. If you've got any autumn fruiting raspberries, then now is the time to cut them right down, just about to soil level, and give them a good old mulch there as well. And time for your general fruit trees, just to give them a good general fertilizer as well, just to give them a good start to the season. Finally, you could be chitting your potatoes, if you bought them already, that is. So, do you chit your potatoes or not? I know some people do, some don't. I certainly do. So I'll be setting those off this week. And talking of potatoes, that brings us on to our interview. It's an interview I recorded a couple of days ago with Matthew Smith of Brighter Blooms. And he is going to tell us all we need to know about potato days. Welcome to the show, Matthew. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, yeah.
Good. Well, we're talking about potato days in the show today, and they're kind of a little bit new to me, really. I've got to say, I read about the Caldbeck Potato Show a couple of years ago now, but I've never been, and it's always intrigued me exactly what potato days are all about. And I just happened to see online this year Caldbeck is coming up at the end of this month, and you were on the link there that actually kind of provides, I don't know if you provide everything for the events there, but just explain what they're all about for us.
So a potato day, at its simplest kind of format, it is a day usually held in a village hall or community centre, and somebody comes along with a load of different varieties of seed potatoes. So it's specifically seed potatoes, so people can buy them to grow on the allotment or in their gardens.
Yes, yeah.
And usually, as a minimum, a potato day would probably have maybe 40 or 50 varieties of potatoes.
Really? So a much, much bigger range than you'd see at the local garden centre there.
Much, much bigger, yeah. And a lot of them, the potatoes are offered as a single tuber and you buy it that way. Now, saying that, my days are slightly different to that. We kind of inherited the potato days, so we carried on with the way that they were packing before. So not only do we sell them as a kilo per variety as opposed to loose, we also offer a much bigger range than just 40 or 50 varieties. We aim to have 90 to 100 varieties of seed potato.
Blimey. I mean, that's phenomenal, isn't it?
It is. It's almost too many in a way. It can be a bit overwhelming.
But
that's kind of why people come, because they know there is going to be a good choice to go at, and they'll find something that suits what they want to do or how they want to grow or what they want to eat, really. So,
because your average garden centre, I guess they're restricted to, I don't know, 10 or 15 varieties, if that, isn't it, really, I guess.
And the reason I can do so many varieties, because some varieties, and we buy them in bulk and break them down into smaller nets.
Yes.
And some varieties I'll sell only a handful of over the course of January and February.
Yeah.
But because we've got sort of seven or eight of these events, it means that one bag that's not very popular can be spread out across all the events. And I don't end up with huge amounts of wastage. Whereas a garden centre, if you bought that bag, it may sell a handful of tubers and then it'd be left over with them because it's just not popular. So
So if somebody's got a small allotment or a back garden, they don't have to buy that big bag full that you have to in a typical garden centre.
No, often a lot of garden centres stock a minimum of 2 kilos, 2.5 kilo nets. Yeah. Which is a lot for somebody.
It is. I mean, it's a lot for me. I mean, I'm lucky. I've got a double plot there, but even for me, it's just too many. You know, so I give some away or swap or whatever. For other varieties or plants. Yeah. So
and you see people coming to the potato day. You know, they'll come with a friend and they'll pick, say, 10 varieties, whatever, between them, and then they can split those bags so they get some of each variety.
So. Yeah. So do you see regular faces then?
We do. So we've been running the potato days. Our first time with it was in 2013.
Yeah.
And as I say, we inherited some of them, so they've been going for maybe 3 or 4 years before that. Some of the faces are from way back then, and they come every year and they put it in the diary and they're definitely there.
Yeah. So some familiar faces then, really. So that's what makes them really quite special then, isn't it? Just the extra kind of varieties that you can
also the extra products we bring as well, because for us it's not just about potatoes.
Yes.
It's a bit misleading calling it a potato day.
Yes.
Because there is so much more there as well for allotment growing, really.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we'll talk about what else people can expect to see there as well. So, I didn't know there were just so many 90-odd varieties. I mean, that's mind-blowing, isn't it? And are there some sort of rarities there and some difficult ones to grow or not? Or are they all, you know, pretty much similar growing conditions, or are there any that need any special care?
Not so much special care as in you've got to really mollycoddle them, I suppose, but some definitely suit areas or the type of ground better than others. So, you know, drought tolerance or heavier ground, that sort of thing. So there are some, and you definitely, because we run throughout the whole of the Northwest, you definitely get pockets of popular varieties in certain areas. So, you know, when we do the Skemersale Potato Day, I know that Ulster Prince is going to be really popular there because it grows so well there and it's so well known.
Yes. So we're talking specifically about the Colbeck Potato Day. How long has that event been going? I know you've said you've taken some of these events on, really, but how far back do they go then? these events?
So I think Colbeck we took on in 2013.
Yeah.
And I think it had been going at least 3 years, maybe 4 years prior to that.
Yes. Yeah.
So whatever the maths is on that.
And that's up in
13 or 14 years.
So that's up in the Lake District, isn't it? Just sort of north of Keswick, I think, isn't it? Up in the top of the lakes there.
Yeah, quite a bit north of Keswick, actually. It's northern lakes. It's kind of, I suppose, to the left-hand side of Carlisle and Penrith, really, that sort of direction.
That's right. That's right.
In what feels like the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Well, you know, I've been working up there earlier this week, and I was working up in that area the week before. And, I mean, the scenery is stunning, isn't it, out there? But once you get out of even Keswick, I mean, you're in the wilds, aren't you, up there? So
totally, yeah. And Colbeck very much feels like that. You really wouldn't imagine for such a small village with a village hall how many people turn up.
So how many kind of people do turn up to these? And it's all day, isn't it? Sort of 10 till 4 or something like that?
10 till 2, actually. We tend to find with gardeners and growers, they like to get up early, get out, get their stuff, and then get home, particularly if the weather's good.
They
can use the afternoon for gardening then, you see. So,
that's right.
So we found that running till 4 o'clock, the last 2 or 3 hours, there's no one there. So we have, we're down to about 2 o'clock, something like that. So
excellent. And how many come through the door then, typically?
Hundreds.
Really?
We're kind of, it depends a little bit on the year and the event. But I'll expect 300 or 400 people at Colbeck, something like that.
Gosh, that's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
Fantastic. Day.
And what sort of are the real unusual varieties then that you kind of offer?
So we've got things like blue and red coloured potatoes, which are a little bit unusual. So your actual flesh, not just the skin, the actual flesh.
Really?
Things like Heidi Red, which is red all the way through, and Blue Annalise, and the blue one right the way through. So that's a bit unusual.
Yes.
Some more of the unusual ones that people know, things like pink fir apple, which you do see from time to time, but it's not always that easy to get hold of. We always offer that variety. And we always have a range of newer varieties as well, which you might not, you certainly won't see at garden centres, because they go for what they expect will sell well, so they don't risk the new varieties.
The classic varieties, really, isn't it? I guess they stick to, don't they, for obvious reasons?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yes. There's a new organic variety came out a couple of years ago, which is a red-skinned one, really high disease resistance. It's kind of touted to replace Desiree, which is a very traditional popular potato.
Yes, I've grown that before,
But sunsets like it, but better, basically.
Yes.
So, and I've never seen that offered anywhere else, but we offer it. So
I've got you, yeah. I mean, you just put me to shame there, you know, because I just grow. What did I grow last year for the first Home Guard? I grew
Home
for
Guard,
the
yeah. I mean,
for the first time.
There's nothing wrong with the old varieties. And sometimes if you've grown that and you know it does very well in your land,
you kind of stick to it, isn't it? But
I agree with that definitely. But try something else as well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I suppose, like most gardeners, I try something new.
Yeah.
Each year, you know, whatever it may be that I've never ever grown before, but I never really think of trying a new variety of I just stick to like Home Guard, which I tried last year, and Maris Pier and Charlotte or whatever, and but these blues and reds, they sound dead interesting,
bit,
aren't they?
Yeah. A bit different. In fact, during the pandemic, we did a little bit of a YouTube video about mashing these, so you can actually retain the colour when you cook them and end up with like pink mash and blue mash and things like that.
Yes, some chefs would go mad for those, wouldn't they?
I can imagine.
Now, what could you recommend then? We have a lot of listeners that don't have an allotment, or they're waiting for an allotment, you know, at the moment, so they've just got their back garden, or they've got a backyard even, and they're just growing in pots and things like that. What would be something you would recommend for growing in pots or bags?
So pots and bags are fine. All varieties will grow in pots and bags,
yeah.
But it's worth sticking to your first earlies and second earlies,
right? Yes,
which may require some explanation. Rather than your main crops, tend to get a bit too big,
yes.
And they need a longer season. It's harder in bags. So if you stick to first and second earlies,
okay,
it is easier, definitely, in your bags.
Yes, and basically, if correct me if I'm wrong, earlies. Just a lot quicker to grow and develop.
Yeah, it's time to maturity, basically.
Yes.
So,
and what's that, 10, 12 weeks or something like that? From
first early is about 10 weeks, maybe 12. Second early is 12 to 15 weeks, thereabouts.
Yes.
Main crop, 15 plus. So it can run right into September, potentially, for some of the real slow growers.
Yes. A main crop, they're better for storage. Is that
generally
right?
Speaking, that's how you treat main crop. There are some exceptions within there that do have decent flavour, but generally a storage potato, they tend to fit in more of your baking, roasting sort of potatoes, and are not overly renowned for their flavour, but there are some exceptions.
Yes, yeah, and first earlies really are salad.
New potatoes, salad potatoes, and a lot of second earlies are treated that way as well.
Yes.
Although some of the second earlies, I mean, we mentioned Charlotte just briefly before, and even though Charlotte is very popular, it is in all the supermarkets. Actually, as a potato to grow, it is fantastic.
Yes.
It is one of my go-to recommendations for a new grower.
Right. Okay.
It grows on anybody's ground, regardless. It doesn't seem to bother at all.
Right.
It tastes so much better when you grow it yourself than when you buy it from the supermarket.
Yes, like everything, isn't it? Yeah.
You can lift it really early, so you get a really small baby new potato. Or if you do leave it in, it will get bigger.
Yeah.
Its properties change slightly, but it will get bigger, and it'll store for quite a long time. Yeah. So it's very versatile.
A good all-rounder, really, if someone's thinking of something, maybe for the first time, they're getting into growing.
Yeah, definitely. And it grows well in bags and pots, which is where we started.
Ah, fine. Perfect. Perfect. Now, I mentioned before we started our chat about chitting potatoes, which some people do, some people don't. What would you recommend, really? That's necessary or not?
I suppose we've got to think about why we chit. What is the reason behind chitting? And the main reason is to get a head start.
Yes. Yeah.
So by getting the shoots onto the outside of the potato, get them growing, means when you put them in the ground, they romp away quick.
Yeah.
Which is great if the weather's good enough.
Right.
Or the ground's got warm enough. Down south, fantastic. Chit away, you will get a much earlier crop. Up here, it isn't necessarily an advantage.
Right.
Because if we chit them, get them in, get them growing really quick, and then we get a late frost, which in the northwest is very possible.
Yes.
We then lose all our tops.
Yes. I've had that before, actually, a couple of years ago. And they were just blackened.
Yeah. Some will recover from that.
Yes.
Some won't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think mine did. I was just lucky, I guess, but
No, they will. So if we're looking to chit to get an earlier crop, and we have the right conditions to do that, fair enough. But farmers up here, for example, they won't bother chitting because you can't put a chitted potato through a machine to plant it. It knocks all the chits off.
Yes.
So they don't bother, and they're obviously doing it commercially.
Exactly, yes.
What most people find is because you are buying your seed potato in January and February time, and you're not going to plant them till the end of March at the very, very earliest probably, and quite often in the Northwest we're into April, and we've planted as late as sort of May time.
Right.
When the ground's warmer and things like that, you'll find chitting happens naturally. It's just the potato starts to get ready. So you, by the time you plant, chitting probably will have happened to some extent anyway.
Yes. So what about spacing then for earlies and second earlies and main crop?
Yeah, first dailies and second dailies, you're on roughly the same sort of spacing.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking to put your rows about a foot and a half apart, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then your tubers within those rows, about 12 inches for a first daily, maybe a little bit further for a second early, but around about that sort of spacing, really.
Yeah.
Main crops do get bigger generally as a plant. You're expecting probably a slightly heavier yield because they're in the ground longer. So they do need a little bit more space.
Yes.
And you're probably looking at about 2 foot between rows.
Really? So quite a bit more space.
This is for your absolute optimum sort of growing conditions, I guess.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then 15 inches between tubers within the row.
Yes. Yes.
Having said all that, if you plant them closer than that, they'll still grow.
Yes, perhaps a bit smaller maybe, or...
That's the thing, yeah, yes. You'll probably get slightly smaller tubers.
Yes.
So again, it depends. I mean, if you don't want to grow massive, great big jacket potatoes,
yes,
and you're happy with smaller potatoes,
that's fine,
you could plant them a bit closer.
Yes, yes. And then earthing up, very important, isn't it, isn't that?
It depends who you speak to. If you speak to the Irish, who are actually really lazy with earthing up, they don't really bother that much.
Do they not? Oh, I didn't know that.
No, they traditionally haven't. They're a bit lazy with it, and they don't bother that much.
And do they have well, obviously, they don't then have problems with the potatoes going green because the light is getting through. Does that
that's
not?
That's the main argument, or one of the main arguments for earthing up. And it depends a little bit sometimes on varieties. Well, some varieties do move to the surface and get quite close to the surface, and you do get that greening.
Yes, yeah.
From the light, and a green potato is poisonous, so
yes.
you can't eat the green
exactly.
potatoes.
Exactly, yeah.
Some stay quite deep, and light won't get through the soil, even if you don't earth up. There's other reasons for earthing up beyond just greening, though, that actually it is worthwhile earthing up. We certainly do earth up.
Yes.
It's an automatic weeding session when you earth up.
Yes. Yeah.
So any of those sort of annual weeds that start to come up as seedlings, you earth up and you're just burying them all. So you've sort of achieved something there. Particularly in the northwest, we're quite susceptible, and we have problems with blight quite a lot.
Of course, yep.
And if you earth up, you put an extra layer of protection against spores falling from the plant, blight spores falling and landing on the tubers themselves or close to the tubers.
So a little bit of protection for that then.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, and that's pretty bad. I know my allotment just up the road here, we're nearly always hit with blight, you know, here. And
we're the same part. Last year was pretty good because we had that dry spell.
Not so much. It's the humidity, isn't it? And a combination, isn't it, of the rain and the humidity.
It's going to be a certain humidity and a certain temperature, which is the Smith rule. It's all quite technical. But and when those conditions come about, the spores that are around, they're just in the air.
Yes.
Land on the leaves and they're able to start to grow effectively. Yeah. And that's what does the damage.
Yes,
and then it can move down through the leaves into the tubers and you get blight within the tubers, which isn't always apparent sometimes until storage, and then it's a whole problem.
Yes.
I guess, is it worth mentioning blight-resistant varieties while we're talking about blight?
Well, I guess with 90-odd varieties there, you can have some.
There are, there's a few newer varieties out that are really good. And I was saying that main crops are notorious for not being that well flavoured because you're storing them anyway and you're roasting and things like that. The flavour isn't as important.
Yeah.
But there was a new variety out a few years ago called Carolus.
Right, yeah.
It's with a C, Carolus.
Yes.
Which we're on lighter soils at the nursery. It grows really well there. But it does grow very well on heavier soils as well.
Okay.
And is blight resistant. So we've had it sit right through a blight break out of the nursery and it's not been touched by it at all.
Really? Gosh.
And for a main crop, actually it's quite tasty, we think. It makes beautiful mash and fantastic roast potatoes.
Okay.
I like it. But can you tell I like that variety?
You can. Yeah. Incredible, really. Your enthusiasm about potatoes. But that's what it's all about, isn't it, really? What it's all about.
Definitely. It's funny how, it's just another plant, I suppose, and I enjoy plants and horticulture, and there's so many varieties that it's easy to get carried away.
It's fantastic. Well, so we've been talking about potatoes, but Potato Days, as you alluded to it at the beginning of our chat, isn't just about potatoes, is it? You sell other things as well? Garlic, I presume, this time of the year, or...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We do a whole range of other things, garlic included, definitely. Yes. I guess a more apt name for them would probably be allotment days or allotment supply days. But so I'll list a few bits if you want, just so you get an idea.
Of course, yeah.
Garlic, definitely. I mean, it's not too late to find garlic. A lot of people, I appreciate, plant it in the autumn time.
Yes.
Yeah. The longer the growing season with garlic, the bigger the bull will be at the end of it. But you can plan right up till March time and still get results from garlic.
Yes. Yeah.
Onion sets. So we're coming into sort of planting time near enough for your onion sets, and we do 8 different varieties of onion sets. Full range of veg seeds. So we've got about 180 different types of veg seeds available, which we're licensed to repack from bigger quantities. So we pack it all ourselves. Fruit bushes and fruit trees. So your black currants, blueberries, red currants, all the cane fruit.
Yes.
That sort of range of stuff. And then a full range of these sort of fairly standard fruit trees, to be honest. We're not a specialist in fruit trees, but...
But they're all there,
So but they're all there, you know, apples, pears, cherries, plums, etc.
Fantastic.
And so we have all that side of things. We have a few sundries bits. We do sell, like, potato grow bags and stuff like that as well, so...
So really, they're a great event, aren't they, for nice and early in the season? So you've got to tell us where we can find you then. Obviously, we mentioned the Colbeck. Which is later in the month, isn't it? Yeah,
the last one of the month, the 26th of February, that one. It's a Sunday.
Yes.
I guess, actually, well, we're just going to mention the dates. Worth mentioning, a lot of these events, as well as being able to buy all the product, they're quite a community thing. So we work with a community group at all of these events.
Yes.
So I might supply all the products, but I rely quite heavily, actually, on the community groups to sort the hall out, do a lot of the local advertising, and then they take a commission from me for the sales on the day. So there's quite a community element to it as well. Yeah.
And I presume you can get tea and cake there at the same time.
So tea and cake. And Colbeck actually takes it one step further, and they usually offer light lunches as well.
Really?
But most of them do a tea, cake and coffee sort of element to it.
Yes.
Again, it's all fundraising for that group.
Perfect. That's great. So Colbeck, that's Sunday, 26th of February, 10 till 2, and that's at the Village Hall there, and that's up in the North Lakes. Isn't it there?
That's right, yeah.
Now, I believe, we'll hopefully get this podcast out just in time, you're in my old stomping ground of Shropshire coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I am. We're at Wattlesborough and Halfway House Village Hall, just outside of Shrewsbury, on Saturday, that is.
Yeah, Saturday the 4th of February. Yeah.
10 till 3. Shropshire's a slightly different one because that isn't technically one of my days. I attend that day. They sort their own potatoes out.
Oh, I see.
And I attend it with all my other produce. So we're there with the seed and everything. So this is one of the potato days where you can buy potatoes by the tuber. So we're not in kilo nets there. Yes. They're sorting that
out.
Sort of
individual.
So,
fantastic.
Yeah, slightly different, that one. But I am there supporting it and selling all the other goods that we do as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then after that?
Sunday, this weekend, we move to Marple, where we have an event there, same as the Colbeck one. There's tea, coffee and cake on that side of things and all the products. Following weekend after that, on the Saturday, we'll be down to North Wales in Mould.
Great.
For an event there.
Yeah.
And then our very own event on the following Sunday, the 12th of February, in Preston. So that's at our nursery, where we again set up with all the products. We actually sell loose seed potatoes there as well as the kilo nets, because we've got the space to do it and we don't have to transport them halfway around the country.
Yeah. Fantastic,
We also do tea, coffee and cake, which is for a charity fundraiser. So all of that we organise ourselves, but we're raising money for two charities that we support at Brighter Blooms.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, so that's your nursery event. So that's Brighter Blooms, and that's, if I've got this right, Walton Flats Nursery.
Spot on, yeah.
Yeah, and that's in Walton Liddale, Preston, Lancashire. 12th of Feb, 9 till 2 again. 10 till 2.
10 till 2. That one, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Fantastic.
So all that information can be found on our website if you want that
yes,
as well.
You give us that website address, yeah.
So it's www.growvegandfruit.co.uk.
Growvegandfruit.co.uk. Fantastic. That's yeah. great. Well, plenty of opportunities for people to come and visit you and say hello to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Come and have a chat about potatoes.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Now, just before we go, I noticed on your website there that you just mentioned, a lot of RHS medal winning badges up there. So briefly, just tell us about those.
Brighter Blooms, the potato days fit into the earlier part of the season because it's like a quiet time of year on the flower side of things.
Yeah.
But during the summer season, we actually very much move into growing a very specific flower, which is Xanthodeschia or Callas.
Yeah.
And we exhibit them at flower shows right across the country. So all the major flower shows, the independent ones from Harrogate and Southport through to your RHS shows.
Yes.
Which are where the medals are on there from the
so
RHS.
So that's where Chelsea comes in then.
So Chelsea, we've been going to Chelsea for about 8 years now, and we've had 7 gold medals at Chelsea. So
fantastic,
and that's for displaying the Xanthodeschia, the Callas.
Fantastic, yeah. And I mentioned, you know, before we spoke, Chelsea. I went there for the first time last year, and what an event it was! And it was a great time for you, wasn't it? So you tell us what happened at Chelsea for you last year.
Chelsea was a bit of a surprise, definitely last year. Yeah. So we got our gold medal we sort of had before there at Chelsea. And then much to our astonishment, we were also awarded Best in Show at Chelsea for the best display in the floral pavilion, which last year was quite a special year as well because it was called the Queen's Jubilee Platinum Award.
So really?
It was quite nice to get that, particularly last year in hindsight now, especially.
Yes. Gosh, what a year to get it. Yeah. Well done on that. I mean, that just shows the standard, of course, that you're at, doesn't it, really? What a reflection of all your hard work that you put in.
Thank you very much.
It is, isn't it? Incredible. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know if I make it this year or not, but I take it you're back this year.
We're back there this year, definitely. Yes. And it is a fantastic show. I think everyone, if they get a chance to go to Chelsea, they should do it at least once to sort of see what it's all about, because there's no other show that's quite like it.
Yeah. And it is busy, of course, isn't it? But what a day. I mean, we were there from, I don't know, 9:30 in the morning till 6:00. You know, just literally the whole day, and it was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
It is fantastic. It is quite a showcase, definitely.
Yeah. Well, all the very, very best for this year.
Thank you.
I guess you'll be getting, you're probably getting ready for it now, aren't you? I would have thought.
The thought process is there.
Yeah.
The growing is about to start on that side of things. We're probably going to display in a similar way to how we displayed last year.
Yes.
We tend to sort of run the same display for 2 or 3 years before changing it again, you know. It's starting to be thought about. At the moment, though, my head's full of potatoes.
Get that out the way first. So,
definitely.
Matthew, thank you very, very much indeed for sparing the time. I know it's manic and you're off to Shropshire literally tomorrow, aren't you, to set up for your event there. So thanks ever so much for sparing us a little bit of time to talk and explain about potatoes, potato days, which isn't just about potatoes, and your great time at Chelsea last year. So thanks so much, and hopefully we'll speak again.
Yeah, definitely. No, you're very welcome anytime.
That's great. And if I don't catch you at Colbeck, I'll certainly come up to Preston and say hello to you.
Fantastic.
Okay. Matthew, thank you so much. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all the time we've got for the show, I'm afraid. Thanks very much for your company. I hope you've got a better insight now into potato days. Not just about potatoes, of course. So, and if you can, get yourself off to one. Thanks to Matthew Smith of Brighter Blooms. What a knowledgeable guy. That fella is fantastic and so enthusiastic about potatoes. I still can't get over 90-odd varieties available at the potato days that Matthew puts on. Incredible. Thank you, Matthew, for taking the time to chat with us. If you want to check out Matthew's website, that is groveveggandfruit.co.uk. groveveggandfruit.co.uk. You'll find them there on the internet with the list on their events page. So if you want to get in touch with us here, just email, and that's rparry1961@gmail.com, rparry1961@gmail.com, or via the website, just search Digging the Dirt, The Allotment Show, and we'll pop up there on the internet. So get out there and get growing. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra. You've been listening to Digging the Dirt, The Allotment Show.